Before we start this week's show, we wish to convey our deepest condolences to those affected by the tragedy in Moncton, New Brunswick. Our thoughts and prayers are with all of you.
Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the show for June 6th, 2014. This is episode 60 of Slamfire Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew, and with me is...
Trevor.
And...
Owen.
Wow. Gentlemen, you guys are just the epitome of exuberance tonight.
Well, just not super duper feeling it, I guess.
I understand with good reason. You hurt yourself. Walking up a hill.
Yeah, I wish that was it. It's a somber show this week.
It will be a little bit. Yes, we will be talking about the Moncton incident later on. But to start off, why don't we kick it off with Trevor telling us all about how SummerSlam is coming along just swimmingly with no issues whatsoever.
Yeah. None whatsoever. Oh, my God. So, Matthew, you work in education, so do you, Owen. And so you're familiar with plans. So a teacher creates a lesson plan for the following day, or perhaps could plan out a whole week at a time, you know, but they have a plan. They don't just fly off the seat of their pants like most people would not, like to think.
Yeah, not like we do here on Slamfire Radio.
Right. So
lesson plans?
Yeah, lesson plans. So, but when you write your lesson plan for you, it's written for you. If you come read my lesson plan, you probably won't understand it. And let's say my lesson plan is 2 pages long. Well, if I'm going to plan for a supply teacher, generally it's going to be more detailed and it could be 4 or 6 pages long, right? It's going to be, you can't write your plan for someone else the way you would write it for yourself.
Well, makes sense to me.
Planning stages is much the same way. So, you know, Sales plans them and has them created a certain way on paper. But in his mind, he knows exactly where things are supposed to go on the ground and how things are supposed to be situated. And
sure, he knows the layout of the range, and he knows what the props look like, and, you know, he has it set up in his head, but then he has to put it on paper, so,
right.
Yeah.
So all I know is what's on paper. So we ripped the whole maze apart. We had to move almost every wall in the maze, only to find out later that, no, that's not what I meant. I know I drew it this way, but that's not how I meant it. Super. And then there was another stage that we did this week where... basically, it was 45 meters worth of walls. No, actually, there was much more than that, but there was 3 walls that totaled up to be 45 meters altogether, if you strung them out end-to-end, right?
That's a lot of walls.
That's a lot of walls, yeah. And even then, it still didn't do the job. The job was you were engaging poppers. There are 4 target arrays of poppers and 4 ports. A high, a low, a high, a low, a high, a low. Or high, low, high, low. Okay.
You sound like the dwarfs there going off to work.
Yeah. So
high, low, high, low. We're shooting Nipsic as we go. I got nothing. Carry
the
on.
The idea is that when you're looking through port one, you can only see the first array. You're not supposed to be able to see any of the other poppers, right? Well, you know, you have to position your walls creatively. And so the guys are coming up with ideas on how to move these walls so that we can't see the poppers. And I'm like, it's not how it looks in the drawing. Gotta follow the drawing. This is the way he wants it. This is the way he designed it. Plus, also, you have to take into consideration when it's a level 3 match, it's been sanctioned by the world governing body. You send your stages away and they're approved for sanctioning.
Yep.
So you can't really
change them.
Exactly. So I'm having a hemorrhage, followed by a seizure, followed by a panic attack.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it was awful. Anyway, we were on the range.
And you hurt your leg.
Oh, stop. I did hurt my leg again last night, though. Pretty bad. I injured it almost identical to, like, whatever healing had occurred.
Gone.
I undid last night, yeah. Yeah, it's a good time. So anyway, that's a lot of what the week was about, building stages for SummerSlam. And then I'm teaching a black badge this weekend, and I'm going to be shooting the black badge match on Sunday, and I had no ammo. So after working at the range till 9 o'clock, I had to come home and load ammo for an hour. And some point this week, it must have been early on in the week, I don't know, maybe it was last Sunday, I got out to the range with my new Daniel Defense Mark 18 and my STI AR-15. So the irons were, I guess, already sighted in more or less on the Mark 18. And just sitting up here in the man cave, I centered the red dot on the top of the front post and figured that would be close enough.
Right.
Yeah, it was bang on.
Yep.
I didn't have to touch it. It was amazing. It was just, yeah, I just co-witnessed it with the front post. I've tried that before and it didn't work, but this time it just worked.
Did you have your rear sight up too when you did that?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what Owen does with his red dot. If it ever comes off, he puts it back on that way, and I would do the same with mine if my red dot would ever arrive.
I knew it would be close, but this was, there was zero difference between shooting the irons and shooting the red dot.
Cool. So, that's really nice.
Yep. And then I tried those 45-degree offset sights on my STI.
And those worked out perfect, right?
They did, but I'm taking them off.
Yeah, who needs perfection when you got a scope?
Works. Yeah. I made an assumption that three gunners were running them intentionally, like they were switching to them, and maybe sometimes they are, I don't know, but I don't see the point. I've got a 1-4 power scope, and I should be able to get the eye relief set up so that when I pop the scope up, I don't have to look for the eye relief. Everything lines up.
Yep.
And that just may be a function of more time behind the rifle, so... So, yeah, I did some AR shooting, shot my open gun a little bit as well that same day. I think I chronographed some ammo. That's what I did. I chronographed some ammo.
And I remember hearing about that, yeah.
Yeah. And then my NFA field officer package arrived yesterday along with some Press Check Ventures mag, so it was like, woohoo! Woo. Think I could get that high, huh? Yeah. Super excited, and then really super excited. So yeah, so big.
I wanted to ask you about this NFA field officer thing because I was thinking about that as well. Back when it was mentioned by Sean, and I just don't think I have the time to put into it right now. But I was just kind of curious what's involved in it and what's it all about.
In a nutshell. You take your level of promotion to the next level a little bit. They send you out some information to kind of get you more familiar with the NFA and help you sell it better. They also send you a bunch of some small posters and membership applications that you could start to take around to like your local gun counters, gun shops. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone through the whole package, to be perfectly honest, because shortly after I got home yesterday, I left to go to the range, and then when I got back from the range, that's when I turned on the news, and then I've been stuck to the TV ever since. So I'll go through it in more detail and give you a bit more information. But essentially, you, as far as time is concerned, you have to you're asked to take part in a conference call once a month, where you get updates on what's happening behind the scenes at the NFA. And right. You get to report during the meeting what you've been doing as a field officer. And, you know, it should be kind of specifically to your duties as a field officer, not I went to the range and talked to some, you know. What did you do to help the NFA since the last call? And it's very important to become a member. And this is not just for an NFA field officer. We should all do this. Become a member of your electoral district. Find out what federal riding you reside in and start going to meetings and join your federal electoral district and try and get involved that way. It's grassroots, right? If we get gun owners involved in politics at all levels, it's less likely that politicians will then try and do things to affect our gun rights.
Makes sense to me.
Well, yep. I'd be interested in that, but I think I will wait until a little bit. I just have so much on my plate right now with the range and stuff. Maybe once I'm done my term as president at the local club, I'll...
There may actually be one in your area, Owen, because when I signed on to the call, I heard two comments. One was, you sound different than you do on your radio show. And the other one, so there's some people on there that, that apparently listen to us. And the other one was, Owen Fueling is a good friend of mine, to which I replied, geez, I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay, so there may already be somebody in the area. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So whoever you are that's friends with Owen, again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all Owen's friends, basically.
I didn't think I had any friends, but anyway.
There you go. Maybe he was just a name dropper. Maybe he's like, I know Owen.
Probably that was it.
He probably just read your profile on the website, because we know that's up to date.
Sure is. Yeah, it says this is Owen's profile. He hasn't given me anything yet.
Yeah, so I still haven't.
No, and that's okay. I still haven't submitted the information for Action Shooting Radio to Joe at the Crusader Podcast Network yet. So what? 16 weeks. I mean, you know. Why do today what you can procrastinate about tomorrow?
That's right.
Finally, I am off to the Miramichi tomorrow after work to teach a black badge with Muffin.
With who?
It's Muffin.
Oh, cool.
McIntyre, yeah. He's going to come with the... And then if he helps out with the... or if it takes lead on the one we're doing in conjunction with the charity shoot... Now, okay, let me back up. We're not doing a charity shoot black badge. There's just a couple of guys that are going to be in town that need to do their qualifiers. Muffin signs off on that one, then that's his last one.
McIntyre. Oh, very nice.
McIntyre does, yeah. So, and I'd like you guys to take part in that one as well, so we can put one more down on your black badge paperwork to get you guys finally certified. Because I know, Owen, you wanted to know if I could go down to do one in Woodstock, but
actually, but he doesn't like you clearly, so he's not going to.
Well, what I was going to say before Mick Interruption jumped in there was the weekend of the 14th has just opened up, Owen.
Of the 14th of...
June?
Oh.
That's next week.
I think...
1 week from now.
I better not commit to anything. Sorry.
All right. No problem.
It's so close, I don't know if I could pull everything together.
Yeah.
That quick.
Well, paperwork can be done after the fact, some most of it anyway. We just need a commitment that guys show up with $125.
Yeah.
How many guys?
I don't even know that for sure, but there's probably half a dozen.
All right. Well, but we could always do one.
I've got 3 weekends left to hunt this month.
Oh, yeah.
I've got 3 bears to get. So. Okay.
Well, you're only allowed one. You know that.
I know. One's for me. One's for McClicky here, and the other one is for another guy down here. So
cool.
I'm not shooting them. They're going
to
shoot
their own. Yeah. When you say it that way, I've got 3 bears to get to. If Greenpeace is listening, they're being
culture.
You got to put guys on 3 bears, is how that's, a guide would say it. There you go. There'll be time. There'll be time after SummerSlam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll get something in.
From that all crippled up by then with range injuries from walking.
Yeah, you got to watch. I'm worried you're going to get a splinter next. So,
oh my God, if I do, jeez.
We'll hear about it on Facebook.
It on Facebook.
Absolutely. Listen, you can't. If you had some grotesque thing like that that would generate sympathy, you wouldn't put it on Facebook. I see. Well, I'm not above that, and everybody knows it.
They knew now. Bad.
When my face was hemorrhaging that time where I had to go to the hospital by ambulance because I had a nosebleed.
Yep.
If I only could have got some decent pictures of that.
Yeah, that would have been all over the place.
Well, when I was bleeding out of my eyes, I was like ready to give the guy that my camera, like, dude, you got to take a picture of this. I'm bleeding out of my eyes. Come on. This is Facebook gold. But apparently it was a bit more serious than that, so whatever.
Whatever.
That's what I'm saying. It's a big deal. So I had like a salty, irony type taste in the corner of my eye. I don't know. Owen, what did you do?
I did a few things this week. Starting last Saturday, I took the whole family, I guess, to the range.
Did you or did you not post that all over Facebook?
I did post several pictures.
There you go. There you go. See?
I don't get the logic here.
Yeah. It wasn't an injury. I wasn't looking for sympathy.
Well, you still got attention. Oh, he's so sweet. He took his wife and kids to the range. Oh, he's a nice guy.
Okay, whatever.
Just cut that whole thing off.
Not now.
You won't, though.
No, we went. Well, my daughter been begging me to go down, so I loaded up a whole pile of stuff: handguns, ARs, 22s, the whole bit. And we were all there, so the younger ones have a little bit shorter attention span. So we were only there for about an hour and a half. We only shot the 22 rifles, but had a good time. Mostly at 20, I guess, almost entirely at 25 yards. And put up a bunch of balloons and things like that for my daughter to shoot. She likes the reactive target stuff.
Don't we all?
Yeah, you shoot something and it goes pop. So, but she was shooting big ones, little ones. I put up blew some that were just like 4 or 5 inches and set them up. And she was hitting them no problem, all by herself. So,
speaking of stuff that goes boom when you hit it, have we talked about the fact that we haven't.
News. Do it under news.
Under news. Okay, I'll see if I can hold off long enough until then. Tannerite's legal in Canada! Oh, couldn't do it. Sorry, guys.
And you can get it from my other show sponsor, Press Check Ventures.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to they're going to have some in stock here real soon.
Yep. May I continue?
Oh, I guess so. Tannerite's legal. Just saying. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. I guess we had a good time. My wife shot. My daughter shot. Yeah, it was fun.
Good.
Then we went to take out seafood afterwards. So that was kind of fun too. Loaded up some more 50 Beowulf.
Good times.
Today, and then on Tuesday and Friday evening, I went bear hunting. Not tomorrow evening. That was last Friday.
Right.
This is not in chronological order, as you can tell.
That's okay.
And, yeah, didn't see anything. Well, I did on Friday. I walked in on a bear, which...
The bear was so embarrassed, he just ran away.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
So hopefully he comes back and you can shoot him.
Well, yeah.
Or he comes back and I can shoot him.
He's definitely been back. It's just whether he's going to come again in the daytime or if it's going to come at night.
Right.
That's the big question. Because if he comes at night, I'll have to get out my flashlight. No. Yeah.
Our Australian listeners are going, why are they laughing?
Yeah. What's the joke? Yeah.
They're allowed to hunt at night in Australia. I really wish we could here. Make things so much easier.
It would. Then Tuesday night, we went out. I took a buddy of mine, and we went out to, he's a bow hunting actually, and we went to another bait and sat there and didn't see a single thing. And I went back out the next morning, and the bait had not been hit. No, I don't think so. No, it's not. No, it's not who you think it is.
Oh, I know.
I had this happen before where, because of the bow hunting thing.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
No.
He's new to the year. He just moved here.
Okay.
And so he wanted to try it for the first time, but he doesn't have his PAL or his hunting, his firearm hunting conservation card or whatever. So, but they accepted his bow hunting hunter safety from Georgia.
Well, here's something interesting. That happened with Matt, too. They accepted that, but they accepted it here as firearm safety as well.
Oh, really?
He went to the actual conservation office. He didn't just show it at the gun store. He went to somebody who should know better. And they're like, no, that's fine. You can hunt with firearm. No. And then when he went and got his PAL, because he doesn't have it yet, but he passed his test. He submitted his paperwork. They actually gave him a conservation card.
Well, that's because they're combined now. The non-restricted and hunting is.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So that's cool. So anyway, he is.
I don't know that he had taken a firearm one in Georgia either. Well,
Matt didn't take a firearm one down in the States. He only took a bow hunting one. Down in the States, or where in Oklahoma anyway, where Matt's from, you're allowed to hunt with a firearm regardless. You only need safety training for your bow. You don't need it for firearm.
This is a recent change. I had a friend from Newfoundland who had his bow hunter card from Newfoundland and Alberta, and when he got to New Brunswick, they made him take the bow hunting course for a third time.
Wow.
Wow.
It might even depend on who you get at the counter, too.
think that could be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, he you know, he has a bow. He doesn't have a gun, so he was, even though I offered to let him use one of mine, but he wants to bow hunt, so that's no problem. The stand is close enough for him to do that. But this is the second time ever I've had this happen where a bait will just seemingly randomly just go cold like that.
Interesting.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that before, Trevor.
Yeah, well, it depends on how much natural food is around sometimes and what you're feeding them. A lot of times, once they can get onto their natural diet, they'll forego the bait if the food is not available. Like up here, they'll stay on the baits longer because we're feeding them sooner or we're feeding them before the natural food is available.
Yep.
So we'll get them on the bait. Maybe you guys will get them on the bait. Well, actually, no, you guys get a jump start into the woods about a week before we do, sometimes two.
Yeah.
But anyway, they get off of the bait when they can start eating their natural diet.
Yep. Yeah, I think it'll come back. I had it happen once before and then it came back later.
And
quit for some reason. So
yeah. But cool. You want sows going to your bait soon because the sows will come into heat. Actually the sows are going into heat. So you get the big boars to follow them to the bait, say, right?
Yep. No, I think he'll get active here, a little more active in a week or two. He's going to be a week or two before he can get back to hunt again. So
maybe try kicking it up with a honey burn or bacon or something to sweeten it up.
He was tonight or yesterday, he was in his kitchen making a concoction of bacon grease and melted marshmallows.
Nice.
On the stove and chanting, "I'm going to get a bear. I'm going to get a bear." So, yeah, he's quite excited about it. But hopefully it works out for him. And then, like I say, Friday evening, I walked in on the one at the other bait, and I sat there and didn't see anything else. But it's evidently coming back because the bait has been hit since then. But anyway, that's about all I've done.
Cool. All right. Well, I went to the range last Saturday, and I did some work with my Glock. Just started off at 15 meters and just did some slow fire for accuracy. Owen, I'm experiencing the same thing you are. I am shooting to the left.
Interesting.
My sight is pushed a little bit to the left, so I think I will center my sight and try again. When I benched it, it did shoot very, very slightly to the left unless I was extra, extra careful. And I think what was happening is when I was shooting it extra, extra carefully, I was actually putting right pressure on the gun, which may have been why it centered it up. So I'm thinking my sights are probably actually off. Same case with you, I think. Your sights are probably just actually off.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Because, you know, I know how to shoot a pistol. I know you do too, Owen. But I've never had a problem with shooting to the right or to the left whenever I shoot for groups. And I was totally to the left shooting for groups there at 15 meters. Now, I did some action-style shooting. I put up a couple of targets. There was nobody else at the range, so I put up a couple of targets. I did some run-bys and some run-ups and some run-backs and stuff. And no problem hitting the target. I mean, even with the sights off, it's only off by about an inch at 15 meters. So, you know, even action shooting, I wouldn't even notice it. But I like my gun to shoot straight. So next time I'm over at your place, Trevor, I will totally be using your sight tool again and straightening that up.
Cool.
Well, I figure I'm gonna take mine again and try the slightly different grip that I actually feel more comfortable with now that I've played around with both. And I want to try it one more time at the range before I adjust my sights.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear, Matthew, that you're benching it from 15. There's a lot of guys bench it too close.
Yeah. Oh, no, you need the distance to make sure that
you get some long shots, like a 50-meter shot in a match or 25-meter shot, and if the gun is off and you're off, you're really going to see that gun go to the left.
That's right. Yeah, you need it as square as you can get it.
Yeah.
I did also shoot an AQT, which is an Army qualification target. Now, here's the thing. Trevor gave me these targets, who got them from Toby from the Armed Squirrel Project podcast.
Squirrels.
Squirrels, sorry. because there's two of them, because Styx is there too, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. It's a cool show. You should check it out. I listened to it. Well, I've listened to it. I have listened to it. There we go. I have listened to it. And it is good. I do enjoy it. But apparently, what I shot was a practice target or some sort of half target. It doesn't say that anywhere on the target. The target says Army qualification target. And then it has a bunch of silhouettes, a big one, a medium one, a little bit smaller medium one, and then like a super small one. And you're supposed to shoot them from standing, sitting or kneeling, prone, and then prone again. And then it has a scoring system. And so I just did this. I followed the sheet exactly. Exactly how there was no other information indicating that this was not an actual target. So
how about the fact that I told you it was a practice target when I gave it to you?
I do not recall this.
That's convenient.
No, I really don't. I remember you handing me a pile of targets and saying, here, go shoot these. They're fun.
No. These are the practice ones. Practice on these, and I'll give you the official ones. Come
well,
on.
Well, I have the official ones, too.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, then.
So anyway.
So you know the difference as well.
Well, I do now. I didn't know that one was considered practice. Like I said, it doesn't say practice on it anywhere.
But that's why I told you.
But you can't just have word of mouth for official targets.
Was I supposed to write it on the back of the target for you?
No, the person who printed off the target is supposed to print practice target.
Finish telling the world how you bragged all over Facebook that you were a sniper and then got called up.
Oh, so Trevor whines on Facebook and Matt brags on Facebook. Okay, I got this.
Okay, all right, carry on.
I just post cute pictures of my kids.
Yeah, and Matthew.
Anyway, I got called out on the Armed Squirrels project. So
and Matthew, I did not tell you they were practice targets.
I knew you didn't.
It just seemed funnier at the time.
It was. Yeah, I was getting ready to throttle you, but anyway.
I could tell. So I better come clean. I'm going to get cut.
Anyway, it was fun to shoot, and I will shoot the quote-unquote official target with, because apparently there's mag changes. You're supposed to do it with a timer. Like I said, on this target, it said none of that. It just said, shoot this. This is a scoring system. Record your score. So I shot it quite well.
You followed the instructions.
I followed the instructions. I did a good job. I thought I did a good job, so I thought I would share my success with the world. And apparently,
then Toby pooed all over you.
Apparently, Toby and Styx just did not like it at all.
Yeah, Styx gave it to you, sorry. And apparently, I made fun of his wife on the air or something.
Yeah, you called her something that was supposed to be kept between friends as opposed to broadcasting it over the interwaves.
Something like that. Like, I don't even remember. Apparently, I said she was mad or crazy. I
remember exactly what you said, but seeing as I respect his wife, unlike somebody I know, I'm not going to repeat what you called her.
Oh, we all know whatever I said was said because Styx told me to say it.
Perfect. I like it.
Go on the air and say this about my wife. I almost used her name. I don't know if I can do that or not.
That's pretty much what he said. I was there when it happened.
That's right. Go on the air and call my wife a crazy German.
Yep.
And tell the world that she beats me, and it'll be fun.
Oh, it's fun for somebody.
So this is not so much you throwing him under the bus. This is you having been thrown under the bus and dragging him with you.
Absolutely.
if I'm going down, everybody's going down.
That's right. Styx is coming with me. Toby, you're all right. Yeah.
Anyway, I did also enter the moose draw. This year, so this will be my second year
running.
What's
the deadline?
It's over.
No, it's not.
No.
No.
It's the 14th or the 20th?
Yeah, it's coming right up. You better get in on it. I mean, you do it online. It's easy.
Or your phone.
Get in on it. So that's done. Like I said, it's only my second year running, so I still have very little chance of actually getting my license or my winning the lottery. But I hear Owen is in on like a higher step than I am, so hopefully Owen, you get your license this year.
Same here. I can't remember last time I didn't apply.
Yeah, good. That means you guys have a better chance. So that'll
still
be cool.
Low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there more licenses given out up there, Trevor?
Nope.
I thought that area had a lot more licenses designated for that zone.
Oh, did they go by zone? Do they?
I think so. Yeah, they do population count by zone and then dole out the licenses accordingly. Pretty sure. At least that's how I would do it. So I'm making stuff up, but That's what they should do.
There may be some truth to that, but didn't they announce in the newspaper recently that they're giving out a lot more licenses than they ever have before?
And they're extending the season by days or something.
Okay. Yeah.
That's true.
So instead of a 3-day hunt, it's a 6-day hunt.
This is our year, boys.
Well, we'll see. It'd be nice if all three of us got one, huh?
That'd be silly.
And a couple of bears? And a turkey? Oh, crap. No turkeys yet.
No turkeys yet.
Got away.
What about wild boars? Did you hear they're moving in?
I hear wild. I'm excited about this. I can't wait to shoot me a wild boar.
Yeah, not so much here, but they have been spotted in Maine. And they're quite a pest out west in Saskatchewan and Alberta.
Yes. Yeah.
They're really becoming major pests.
Technically, we actually don't want them here, but if
If they do come, Trevor, you and I will shoot them, yeah?
In the face. Sorry.
I guess they're super dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
I know wild boars are, but even these ones, I guess, are still, pretty nasty.
Yep.
Why I need an AR-15 chamber and 7.62x40.
That's right. Non-restricted.
With a 20-inch barrel.
That'd be sweet. Speaking of AR-15s, I did purchase a red dot, it's actually an orange dot, but anyway,
triangle, isn't it?
It is. It's an orange triangle sight for my AR. I bought a Maprolite M21. I talked about this on Action Shooting Radio, and there's my little segue into the fact that I guest appeared on Action Shooting Radio with Trevor and Pat, and then eventually Mo.
Yeah,
so anyway,
all showed up. That wasn't supposed to happen. How embarrassing.
Yeah, that's okay. No worries. If you listen to that, you can just fast forward, because I'm going to say the same thing. It's a fiber optic powered.
No, it's tritium powered.
It's tritium powered with fiber optics.
Yeah,
is how it works. So during the daytime, the fiber optics displays the reticle, which is a triangle, and I'll talk about why I chose a triangle here in a second. And at night, the tritium powers it. So no batteries at all needed. Now, the tritium does only last 12 years, and after 12 years, I know, only 12 years, but once it becomes too dim to use reliably, you can send it back to the factory, and they'll replace the tritium for you for a fee, or there are aftermarket electronic lights that can be attached to it, where you can just use that instead. So it is literally a sight that can be used for, as long as you use it in the daytime, you can literally use it for as long as you own it without ever having to put batteries in it. So that was one reason why I decided that was a good sight. The other reason is, of course, the Israelis use it over in Israel, I suppose they probably use them in Palestine too. And listening to or reading the email last week from our listener who was in the IDF kind of piqued my curiosity again about the Maprolite, and so I looked into it and decided that I like it. The reason I picked the triangle, you could get a 4.3 or 5.5 MOA dot, or you could get a bullseye style reticle, kind of like the EOTech, except that it was a much smaller. It was only a 15 MOA reticle as opposed to the 60 MOA reticle in the EOTech, so I thought that was kind of small. I didn't really like it. But here's how the triangle works. It's a 65 MOA triangle from top to bottom. You use the point of the top of the triangle for your precise 100-yard shots or farther or whatever. And then for up-close shooting, you just put the whole triangle on the target. And so what that does, because the triangle is the size that it is, just the very fact that you're using the center of this triangle instead of the point, you're already aiming up, which you need to do at closer distances. It's not going to be perfect, of course, but it's, for action shooting, for three-gun shooting, it's going to be as accurate as I need it to be. So I'm very excited about that coming. It should be here early next week. I can't wait to get it out to the range and mess around with it and see how it works. So,
The idea, no battery.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean,
can I get one of those for my Seymour sight on my open gun?
I don't know. Wouldn't that be nice? Might be able to jury-rig something up. Just put a great big fiber optic on the side of the gun. And
and some tritium.
Get some tritium in there. Yep. All right. Well, let's move on to some upcoming events. Trevor, want to bring us this first one here?
Sure. It's the Slamfire Radio Flyer. It's still going on. Print it off and get a picture, a selfie, if you will, of yourself posting it at the local gun range, gun store. Heck, why not even go to the library, etc.? And we're going to pick somebody soon. I let you come on the show with us if you're feeling that desperate for company that particular evening, that you want to slum it and hang out with us. We'd love to have you on. Know this, Filthy has raised the bar.
Oh, yes. So we'll talk about his video later on in the shout-out section.
We'll talk about it now.
Okay, let's talk about it now.
It's posted on our Facebook, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, if you don't, like I said when I shared the video, if you don't know who Filthy is, you're a communist.
Yep, basically.
So check that out, and then that's what you've got to compete with.
So we're not really calling you communists because that's mean, but what we're saying is if you don't now go check him out,
then
we may or may not hold you in a lower esteem than we currently do.
And compare you to communists.
And then compare you to people who force other people to pay for you to live.
You're a communist. All right. Fourth annual charity shoot. Oh, my
God. I didn't want you to read them all. I wanted Owen to do this one.
Well, guess what? I'm doing this one anyway, and then he can do the Versamax draw.
All right.
I'm just going to do that. It's happening. Fourth annual charity shoot. It's right around the corner, kids. It's June 28th. Let us know if you're coming, because we need to know how much food to buy. Registration is going to be at 9 o'clock at the Red Squid Gun Club. Trap shooting, silhouette shooting, small bore silhouette, rifle shooting on zombie targets, because Filthy's going to hook us up, right, Filthy? I hope so. I'm just saying that, kids. So if
yeah, probably won't happen. Trevor's putting words in other people's mouths, and
sure
writing
am,
checks his broken calf can't check cash.
I have some zombie targets left over from the previous event, so I will bring those out. But I'm
I have some zombie targets, too, so I'll bring those as well.
Okay. Yeah,
so, if I remember, probably.
All right.
I think I have some Ewok targets here.
Ooh. Oh,
I got some of those, too, actually.
Toby, you coming, man?
Yeah, what happened to that? There was the Paul Lathrop was talking about coming at one time.
Well, see, that was a long time ago when it was still a ways off in the future. Now that it's coming up soon, they're like, oh, crap, I can't really do that.
Yeah, that's too bad. But Styx was talking about coming, and there was vacationing he was going to do around here. And
yeah.
Anyway, we'd love to see some of our American podcasting friends come for sure.
For sure.
So, anyway, Owen, whatever you're scratching, yeah, you can stop and then do the verse. Is that your beard? Were you scratching your beard?
Scratching? No, I was taking an elastic off of these targets.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, open them live on the show so people can see. Hold them up to the mic.
Well, you should see them. These are pretty awesome. There's a Wookiee, and I think that's Jar Jar Binks.
Wookiee.
Okay, Jar Jar Binks, yes. Wookiee, no. The Wookiee needs to be put on the wall and revered, not shot at on the range.
Well, Princess no. Leia. Filthy can shoot at him.
Eh, fair enough.
He won't Princess hit him, Leia. Don't worry.
What is
Rebel
that?
Scum.
Rebel Scum. What else do we have here? Oh, there's an Ewok.
Beauty. Okay, well, bring us this next upcoming event here, Owen, before
Ewoks
our listeners.
Ewoks are the gophers of Endor. That's so they're fair game.
Wow, you are such a geek.
Thanks, man. But so I'm going to geek out some more. You know they say that Wookiees are so mean and so tough and so this and so that? Have you ever seen Chewbacca do anything in any of the movies other than whine?
No, that's all he does is whine. He threatens to pull people's arms off. Well, he doesn't, but
Han Solo threatens that he's going to pull arms. What does he do?
He doesn't. He goes, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
And then hits like something and uses a wrench to make the ship go to light drive. I don't know.
Yeah, rug. I got not a lot of love for Chewie, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Laugh it up, fuzzball. All right, Owen.
You guys are such geeks. Versamax draw.
You're the one that tried to put the blaster into the gun rally that raffle up.
I did that for you guys.
I'm pretty sure we lost listeners on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Versamax draw. Tickets are three for $20 or $10 each. EMT to restgooshgunclub@gmail.com. And make sure you send the password to your EMT.
And let me know right away if you want a picture of your stubs or not.
Right.
That's probably not even a euphemism.
No, right. I had to take all the stubs.
I know. We heard the story last week. So
yeah,
the practical arm.
I'm over it. And I'm not going to mention any names, but Mr. Jib Jab, You're welcome.
Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course with Tommy Nelson, August 2nd and 3rd. We've got two spots available, $200. Send us your money. Get in on this. It's going to be awesome. Multi-gun is August 16th and 17th. This is going to be a fantastic match. You do have to pre-register. It's $40. Registration form is on the Restigouche website, which is restigouchegunclub.com. Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic, October 11th. Two spots available there as well, $200. Actually, I think I might be down to one spot now. Anyway, send us $200. You can get in on that. It's going to be great. That is with Daniel Shaw. So that'll be really, really cool. The Spring Swiss Arms Fork It Over fundraiser. It's happening in about 2 weeks, June 21st. That's happening. Head over to chrisandersonpresents.com for more info. That's going to be a really cool event. So please go check it out. All right, so I guess now we'll move into the news, and as you heard at the beginning of the show, we are going to discuss just briefly a little bit of the Moncton tragedy that's ongoing. At the time of this recording, the perpetrator still hasn't been caught, and we're actually going to refrain from using his name because we don't believe in glorifying people who cause harm to others, because that's sort of what they're looking for. They want that infamy, and we don't want to give it to them. We know it's, you know, we're a drop in the bucket compared to mainstream media, but we're not going to perpetuate it, and we're not going to we're just not going to say that it's okay. So anyway, if you don't know what's happening, if you live in another part of the world, which we understand a lot of people do, a mentally deranged individual basically grabbed his rifle and his shotgun and began shooting police officers in a city just a few hours away from where the three of us live. It's an ongoing event right now. Three officers have been killed, two more have been wounded, and there's a massive manhunt on the way ongoing looking for this individual. So it's a pretty sad story all around. I really don't know what else to say about it. We don't really want to talk about it a whole lot right now. It's
One comment based on what you said. I'm not calling him mentally deranged.
Okay.
Whether he is in fact suffering from a mental illness remains to be seen right now.
That's true. That's a good point.
What he's done, I believe, took premeditation and planning. And,
I was using mentally deranged more as a derogatory comment towards the individual.
Yeah, and lots of derogatory comments for him. But
that was the nicest one I could think of that I could say on the air.
Well, it gets thrown out there a lot when this happens right away.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should confuse these people with some people that actually suffer from legitimate mental illness.
That's a good point, Trevor, yeah.
So, especially when some people, we're trying to take some mental illnesses out of the taboo and get people to talk about their problems so they can get help.
Yep.
So, but anyway, needless to say, he's an individual who has some problems.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. That's basically all we're going to cover on that. We may go into more detail maybe next week if the situation has unfolded completely by then, and we may have some other insight and commentary that we may want to post on that later. But for now, we're just going to leave it at that, and we are going to move into our main topic. All right. Well, I guess we'll move into our main topic then. This week, it's sort of like last week, where somebody sent us an email and asked us a question, and so we thought we'd turn it into an entire main topic.
So you can do that too, but please keep it gun-related. We're not Deer and Landers.
Yeah. So here's what Frank writes. He goes, "Great work with the podcast. Thanks again, and keep up the good work." Oh, well, look, I don't know how we're going to stretch this into 30 minutes, but let me tell you, talking about how great we are, we can do that, right, guys?
Please. Have you seen my Facebook? That's Trevor for Latte, by the way, at facebook.com.
Go check him out. He's hilarious.
If you send me one to Trevor for Latte, I'm not going to take it. You got to go to the for Latte one.
Yep. Okay, so what Frank really wrote was, "Hey guys, I've been listening for about a month now, and I'm up to episode 20, so I'm trying to catch up as fast as I can. I have a shotgun." Yes. Okay. "I have a question about shotguns for you. I currently own a Mossberg 590 12-gauge with a 20-inch barrel, and while I really enjoy the gun and have no intention of selling it, I'm looking for something with a little more versatility. Don't get me wrong, the 590 is great and fun to shoot and makes a good home defense type gun, but I also think I need something that has a longer barrel option. Guns are tools, and you need many different tools for different jobs, not to mention the fact that you can never have too many. I would like to do some trap shooting and skeet shooting. Wait, is there a difference?
He did that for
I love this guy. I love this guy.
As well as hunting, migratory, small game, upland, and deer. So I'm looking at a Mossberg 535 with a three-barrel combo, and here it is. It's 12-gauge. It has a 28-inch bird barrel, a 24-inch rifled barrel with a cantilever scope mount, and a 24-inch turkey-slash-field barrel with fiber-optic sight. The AccuChoke, or it has an AccuChoke set, which is improved cylinder, modified, and full, plus a turkey choke. I thought I would ask you guys, as some of you are Mossberg owners, am I on the right track with this? I would like to stay with Mossberg because I currently own one and find that they are a good balance between price and quality. Thanks again, and keep up the good work. So the choke set, I assume, will go in the 28-inch barrel or the 24-inch barrel. The rifled choke, I certainly hope doesn't, or the rifled barrel, I hope doesn't have chokes. But yeah, that sounds. I mean, I think that's a good option.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea as well. I mean, he has the 590, which he will leave as is.
Yeah.
This one gives him one shotgun receiver that he can use for three different games. He can use it for, well, he can use the 24-inch barrel for upland or the 20-inch barrel for upland, but he's got his turkey barrel. He's got the 28-inch that he can use for grouse, rabbits, and, sorry, what's chambered in, 3 or 3.5?
It's 3.5. A 535 is a 3.5.
There you go. So you can use it for geese as well. So it really is kind of the perfect, it's a jack of all, one receiver, and let's face it, what makes a shotgun is the barrel.
That's right.
So he's got a deer slug gun if he wants to shoot deer or bear from a tree stand with a scope and a slug or a sabot. He's set up for that. If he wants to hunt, like we said, waterfowl or upland, he's covered. If he wants to shoot turkey, he's covered. And all he has to do is swap a barrel.
That's right. Now, here's the thing, though. You currently have a Mossberg 590, which I believe is chambered for 3-inch. It's a 3-inch action. What you're going to find with the 535, with it being a 3.5-inch action, the pump has to travel an additional half inch, if not a little bit more, actually, to eject the shell and to load the next one. I have, in the past, owned 3-inch actions and 3.5-inch actions. When I went to the 3.5-inch action, I would short stroke it. I wouldn't pull the pump all the way back, and I would end up causing myself malfunctions, feeding errors, and whatnot. The gun is a little bit longer, so if you're a big guy, you probably won't even notice. But just bear in mind that the muscle memory you already have now for the 3-inch action is. It's going to throw you a little bit when you're using the 3.5-inch action. Just something to bear in mind. You do have to make sure that you are positive all the way back on the pump and all the way forward again.
Mm-hmm. The other option, of course, is buy one shotgun for every game. And ultimately, I believe that is better for a couple of reasons. But there's a downside, and that's going to be the only downside to that plan is it's going to be purely financial. If you want a...
Well, that's not the only downside, and I'll talk about why I think there's a downside in a second, but go ahead.
Right. Well, I just always fail to see a downside to having multiple guns, but, well...
Of course.
There is. I mean, if he uses only one receiver with all these different barrels, then he will get very familiar with that one firearm, even when it does change configurations once in a while. But... if you purchase, let's say you've got a fat budget, you purchase a really nice upland bird gun, you purchase a really nice semi-automatic 3.5-inch magnum goose gun, you purchase a really nice specific camouflage turkey gun. I mean, it'd be cool to have the master, you know, right now you're going to get a jack of all and a master of none, but it's nice to have the right gun for the right job as well, because you can you know, you can go out and you can try, go to gun stores and handle a bunch of different 28-inch semi-automatic shotguns and see which one you like best for that game. Go out and try different turkey guns. Remington has a couple. Mossberg, obviously, we know has a couple. I mean, there is different manufacturers making different turkey guns. So you want to stick with Mossberg, but you may end up thinking the Benelli is the cat's meow for a goose gun. You may find that the Remington is the perfect turkey gun. So you may get away from having just Mossbergs, but what I'm getting at is you could find the best gun for each one of those games if you went with one gun for each game.
Oh, and what do you have for a goose gun?
I have a Beretta Extrema 2. It has if you put the choke in it, it's got like a 29-inch barrel, including the choke.
Yep. So it shoots well?
It shoots, fantastic in my opinion. You've got to make sure.
You've taken birds out of the sky at 70 yards with that, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Yep.
Yep. I mean, a lot of that is ammo as well. You know, I use pretty premium ammo, and that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's squirrel it off here for a second. What's the difference? Why is one shotgun ammo better than another when you're talking 3.5-inch Magnum? Is it the shot? Is it the powder? Is it the consistency?
It's mostly the quality of the shot. Now, for Goose, the shot I use is half tungsten, half steel. Mm-hmm. So for waterfowl, because you have to use steel, not lead, you're losing a fair bit of hitting power in the mass, and so some companies have come out with tungsten shot, which
that's cheap.
You know, it's quite heavy. Yeah, I actually the half tungsten half steel isn't bad. It's right about the same as any premium. You know, like it would be comparable in price to Winchester Supreme and things like that.
I just can't imagine throwing away tungsten. Back when I was in archery, we used to run tungsten points in our outdoor target arrows. And you used to get a package of 12 points. They would come in a hard, clear plastic case with each arrow point in an individual tube. And when they first hit the market, they were full-blown retail at $250 a dozen.
Wow. I think you're paying a lot for the quality of the machining,
yeah,
not just the material there.
Yeah, but tungsten's not cheap and it's not easy to work with. So you're right, we're paying for the craftsmanship. But yeah. And it's not even pure tungsten, because pure tungsten is too brittle and it would break when the arrow hit the butt. But that's right. I said arrow hit the butt. It's real terminology. Look it up. When you're shooting tungsten shot out of your shotgun, Owen, is the tungsten shot pure tungsten? Like just tungsten pellets?
The tungsten shot is, yes. Like wow. I say, it's half steel, half tungsten. So you've got
steel it's not shot. An alloy. There's literally half of the pellets yes. are steel and half of them are tungsten.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought he meant, yeah.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah. So yeah. They would have different flight patterns.
Yeah, because once every other.
No, but the steel shot is bigger. You have bigger steel shot and slightly smaller tungsten shot, but it's, again, heavier. So you're getting a lot more pellets in your
with,
load.
With additional mass.
With some additional mass.
Now, what would that cost a box?
You just hang on a sec, because I've got a box right here.
It's got to be close to $50.
No, not even close. I'm going to say 25.
No, Matthew, I bought one box when I got my Versamax. I bought a box of Winchester Super X, 3.5-inch Magnum, just because I had never had them before, never shot them before. And I paid as much for that one box of 3.5-inch Magnum as I did for 100 rounds of Universal.
Yeah, 100 rounds Universal is like 28, 30 bucks, something like that.
No, dude, they're 32 and 34. You haven't bought one in a while. Yeah.
It's been a while, yeah.
These don't actually have, this box doesn't have a price on them, actually. I bought them as a case, so they're
perfect.
Not individually labeled. But I do know the price went up recently, but it is right around $40 a box.
Wow.
So yep. It's well, not, hey, if it's it takes birds stuff. Out of the air better than other ammo, then it's worth it.
That's 70 yards, yeah.
Yeah, it's moving. It's 1,500 feet per second.
Now, not only is it the ammo, but it's your choke tube as well. And you have a fairly specific choke tube that you like. Why don't you tell Frank about what you've got?
I have, and there's a few different choke tubes, aftermarket choke tubes, but this one is called a Pattern Master. This is a Paternoster extra range, I think they call it, but it's their longest range choke tube. The idea behind the Paternoster isn't so much that it extends the range as it keeps the pellets together, so a tighter group, and it shortens the shot string. So now when you fire a shotgun, the pellets all come out, the wad falls away, and it's not just, you know, we look at the pellet group on a flat target and we think, oh, it's, you know, it's a 24-inch group, you know, spread. But we are only seeing the two-dimensional. That shot comes out in like a 6-foot string. It's 6 feet long, that, you know, maybe that string of pellets. Mm-hmm. Yes, it all lands in the same spot, but if you have a bird that's moving, it's not all landing on the same. That bird is flying through that, and only some of those pellets are actually impacting. Mm-hmm. And they're only impacting they're impacting in different parts of the bird. It's not just east-west, it's lengthways as well. So there are little nubs on the inside that basically slow down the wad as it leaves the barrel. And it is sort of like if you take a handful of rice and throw it, you can imagine kind of how long it would be. Or you take a handful of rice and start to throw it, but then stop your hand, the rice will come out a lot closer together, kind of in a big ball. And that's sort of what it does. It is a tighter choke than a full choke, but it also shortens up the shot string, so you're putting more pellets on the bird at any specific point in its flight.
That's interesting. That's cool. I didn't realize that's how it worked, but that's cool. I like that. Chokes, when you get into shotguns, you have a 590, Frank, and 590s, I don't believe, have any chokes. When you get into one with chokes, you're going to find that choke tubes really, really make a difference. An improved cylinder choke is a very open choke, and your shot's going to spread very quickly. That's something that will be great for shooting upland game. When you're flushing them up close, you want a very wide shot pattern to give yourself the biggest chance of hitting it.
Is and improved then, cylinder and cylinder the same choke, Matthew?
No, a cylinder is absolutely no constriction.
Well, that's what we have.
Improved cylinder, that's what Mossbergs have, or the 590s have, and improved cylinder is just a very slight amount. I think it's 0.007 of an inch or something. It's just enough, basically, like Owen said, it's basically just enough to kind of snag the wad a little bit, just kind of very, very slightly put a little bit of pressure on it as it comes out of the barrel, and I think that's all it does. It just tightens your group very, very slightly, and a lot of people say that the improved cylinder choke gives you a more uniform pellet pattern as opposed to your open choke. Sometimes you get holes and gaps in it, so that's what that does. Your modified is going to be great for later on in the season when all the leaves are off and the birds are flushing a little farther away. You're going to want the modified choke for maybe out to 30 to 40 yards, and that's probably pushing it a little bit, probably closer to 25 to 30 yards. And then your full, of course, is for 40 yards and out, and then of course turkey choke is for even longer. So, your maximum distance in a shotgun with an extreme full turkey choke is, like Owen said, he's taking birds at 70 yards. That's extreme. That is the absolute, I would say, far end of the envelope for shotguns in the hands of an average shooter. Master shooters can stretch it a little bit further than that, but that's rare. So,
well, why don't we move off of goose guns, and Matthew, maybe you can talk briefly about turkey shotguns. I'm asking you because you've gone turkey hunting and have a bit more experience, but what makes a turkey shotgun a turkey shotgun? How is it different from his Beretta or my Versamax or even my Mossberg 590?
Well, if you look in catalogs, the main difference is that they're all camouflaged. That seemed to be the one thing that set them apart for quite a while, is they were camoed. And the reason for that is turkeys have excellent eyesight. And so you want every part of your body, all of your equipment, to be camouflaged.
Okay, what about the action? What are they chambered in?
Yeah, they are chambered in either 3 or 3.5 inch. A lot of them are 3.5 inch. A lot of guys really like the extra power. Turkeys are notoriously difficult to kill. When I turkey hunted, I used a 3-inch. It worked fine. My turkeys ended up just as dead as the next guy's. But, a lot of them are 3.5 inch. and they have shorter barrels, and they have either the ability to mount a red dot sight or a low-powered scope, or like the case of the 535, it has fiber optic sights. So that's a rear fiber optic sight and a front fiber optic sight.
Why a red dot on a turkey gun?
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of guys run red dots. Turkey hunting with a shotgun, you don't aim for the body. I mean, turkeys are big birds, but you don't aim for the body. It's almost impossible to kill them with a body shot with a shotgun. You have to shoot the head and neck. And so that's a fairly small target. That's why the sights or the red dot come in really handy for making sure that you get a good hit in a good zone. So that's basically the only difference. They got shorter barrels for better maneuverability in the woods, and they've got sights on them. So,
imagine a ground blind, too.
Yeah, a lot of guys will hunt from a ground blind. If you camo up really well, you can just sit against the base of a tree, is how I did it, and it worked fine. But yeah, ground blinds come in really handy as well whenever you're turkey hunting, if you go that route. Turkey hunting's a lot of fun.
So the Mossberg that Frank is looking at may not be camo.
It may or may not be, and I should point out that it doesn't need to be. I hunted with a black, it was a Winchester 1300 Defender that I had threaded for choke tubes, and I had an extended ported extra full turkey choke put in it, but it was just black. I didn't camo it up, and I still got my turkeys no problem. So it's important, but movement's more important than color. So as long as you're staying still, you're okay. I would guess, though, if it's advertised as a turkey barrel, I'm going to guess that the entire gun is camouflage. And if it's not, at least the furniture is, the receiver, the stock, and the forearm is camouflage.
And you can get, I've seen that they sell them locally here, some camo wraps that are supposed to be pretty good. And they just are sort of like a, I don't want to call them a tape, because apparently when you take them off, they don't leave any sticky residue behind. But
that's cool.
Yeah, there's a local decal shop that sells them, makes them, and sells them.
Nice. So. Yep, that's always an option there, too, if you decide to go turkey hunting, Frank. Now, upland guns, you're on the right. I mean, the 28-inch bird barrel, if you're out in the middle of a field with no brush, no trees, and whatnot, you're out pheasant hunting or snipe hunting or anything like that. A woodcock, I guess, is what I meant to say, not snipe, woodcock hunting. The 28-inch barrel is going to be fine. It's going to swing well. It's going to point well. If we're talking you picking out a gun specifically for upland hunting, though, I would suggest a double barrel 28-inch or 26-inch barrel shotgun, either side by side or over and under seems to be a bit more traditional for upland bird hunting. Upland game, rabbits as well. But there's just something about having a nice break action double barrel shotgun. I would say probably 20 gauge.
Covered in walnut.
Oh, yeah. Maybe some gold inlay scroll work.
Why 20 gauge? I would go 20 gauge.
I really like 20 gauge for upland. I really do. The gun's a little bit lighter to carry. They're typically about a pound lighter. It just, I don't know.
You say that, but I shot 20 gauge for years before I went to 12 gauge. After going to a 12 gauge, after shooting a 20 gauge for years, I don't know. You remember the charity shoot in Restigouche? I shot trap with, that's trap, oh, not skeets. I shot trap with my Winchester Model 1200, which was a 20 gauge. And that's what I had that gun for. I'd turned my 870 into a quote-unquote tactical shotgun, and was using my Remington for my Winchester 1200 for hunting. And I mean, you shot it; it was nice. Mm-hmm. Had that speed pump on it.
Yep.
But you're right. For rabbits or partridge, 20 gauge is more than enough.
It is definitely. I don't know what it is.
More expensive.
It's very close to 12 gauge. It's not that much more expensive. It's not like 410. 410 is way more expensive than 12 gauge or 20 gauge. It's insane. I don't know why it is, but it is.
Make less of it.
Maybe. But you can totally use a 12 gauge for upland game hunting as well. Lots of guys do. It's not even overkill. It's just, I don't know. I just just something about 20 gauge and upland hunting. I just kind of see they go hand in hand. They go side by side.
You're right about the weight.
What was that?
Right about the weight.
Yeah. A little bit lighter. So yeah, if you're going to go with multiple guns, then I would say go with, like Trevor said, a specific one for what you're doing. But if you do want to go with this combination shotgun, it's a great option. I considered it myself. I was going to get that as opposed to the 500 that I have now. And the reason I didn't is because it was a 3.5-inch chamber instead of a 3-inch chamber, and I really wanted a 3-inch chamber. I just don't shoot 3.5-inch shells. Yep. Even when I've gone turkey hunting, I shot 3-inch. I didn't shoot 3.5, and if I went goose hunting, I would just shoot 3-inch. I know I would lose a little bit of range, but that's the length that I'm comfortable with. It is a pump action. It's not a semi-auto, so there is that much more recoil.
That's right.
And I'm not a big guy. I don't like a lot of recoil, especially if I'm shooting for hours on end. So, you know,
If I was going to shoot 3.5, it would be in a semi for sure. Because one, I wouldn't have to worry about cycling that action and short stroking it.
Mm-hmm.
And two, a lot of the recoil would get eaten up.
Yep.
And I shot basically wussy 3.5-inch loads. I bought a box of Winchester Super X and shot them through my VersaMax, and that was the heaviest recoiling shotgun ammunition I had ever fired, and it was the heaviest I ever want to fire.
Mm-hmm.
I know if I got out there to shoot geese and was shooting the stuff that Owen is shooting, then I would really find out what recoil's all about.
Yeah, definitely.
And, well, the great thing about this, the Beretta Extrema 2, is that it does have the kickoff, mm-hmm. and so it has the shock absorbers in the stock. So I don't notice the recoil on a 3.5 nearly as much as I did, for example, with my pump. Mm-hmm. And it's a semi, so that also helps. It doesn't. There's less perceived recoil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. The total amount of recoil is still there. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. Physics is physics, and when something leaves your barrel at X speed at this weight, that much recoil is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can stretch out the recoil impulse from a tenth of a, or a thousandth of a second to a hundredth of a second, it makes it feel way less.
Yep. So. And that combined with the kickoff, I mean, this gun is about, when I'm shooting 3.5 out of this, it would be the same as like 2.75 out of any other gun.
So what's the kickoff?
The kickoff is just a piece on the back of on the butt of the stock that compresses. It's not like a butt pad. There's actually shock absorbers in there.
Oh, okay.
That's like the name of their recoil pad system.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
VersaMax has one. They call it something else. Cool. Or Remington has one that they call it something else.
Oh, so it's kind of like the what's that stock you used to have there, Trevor? The pistol grip one with
The Knox recoil reduction.
Right. So it's similar to the where it'd be just a lot smaller version of that.
No, that one functioned on the receiver slid with a spring on the stock.
Oh, okay.
This one, it's just all completely in the butt pad itself.
Oh, cool. Can you get those aftermarket for, like, I don't know, Mossberg 500s?
Yes. Yeah, you can get the Limb Saver.
Yep.
They started off in the archery industry, and then they started to make recoil pads for guns, so Limb Saver makes them for all kinds of different guns.
Interesting. So in archery, were they still called Limb Saver?
Well, they were called Limb Saver because you used to put them on your limbs.
Right, the limbs of your bow.
Right, and that just became the company's name.
And now they call them limbs. See, I've always just thought Limb Saver was, they're talking about my arm with the shotgun, you know, the recoil. So they're just, you know, they're saving my limbs from the recoil. That's what I always thought it was. That's you learn something new every day.
There you go.
Very cool.
Clever names.
So, Frank, I hope we haven't confused you too much. I think closing remarks here for me personally, I say go for it. Get this combination gun.
Yes.
You probably will be able to overcome the extra half inch of pump action. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's just something I wanted you to be aware of. Having the three different barrels, you literally can shoot any game in North America.
Mm-hmm.
With those three barrels. The 28-inch is absolutely perfect for upland out in the field. The 24-inch turkey/field barrel is absolutely perfect for hunting turkeys or for field hunting as well, where there may be some brush. I like my shotgun barrel short anyway, So a 24-inch barrel and a pump action is, that'd just be fantastic for rabbits out in the scrub brush. That'd be great.
And that rifled barrel with a scope?
Oh.
I mean, inside 100 yards, he'd be really, really effective.
Inside 200 yards almost, I would say, with the right ammunition. Shotgun ammunition, rifled shotgun ammunition has come a long way.
Yeah, the sabots that are that nice projectile inside the, yeah.
Yep, they are accurate.
A lot better than a slug.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, you can shoot like a Foster slug, which is just like a big 1 ounce chunk of lead, basically, in the end of a shotgun shell. What you would typically refer to as a slug whenever you're talking shotguns. You can shoot those through your rifled barrel, and they will stabilize and they will be more accurate than shooting them out of a smoothbore. But if you know, it's a bit more money, but if you step up and get the really expensive, well, not really expensive, but the really high-end, like Trevor said, sabot slugs, it's like a 308 style. Actually, I think most of them are 50 caliber projectiles.
Yep.
Inside
ballistic
of a
tip, the whole nine yards.
Yep. Inside of a plastic sabot. It's a plastic encasing to fill out the rest of the barrel. And as the sabot leaves the barrel, the plastic peels away, leaving that 50 caliber projectile to scream downrange. And it stabilized properly, and I've seen some really accurate hits with shotguns. So, you know, you're talking, you know, moose, elk, bear, no problem with those. Lots of speed, lots of power. So definitely something I would say, yes, do this. Get this combination myself. I'm very much a one gun to rule them all sort of person. I like to know my gun, know it, and not have to relearn something else or be familiar with something else. Just be familiar with my gun, and you know what they say: be careful of the guy with one gun. What do you guys think? Should he get this combo, or should he get one gun for each task?
Well, start with the combo, and then if he really, really enjoys turkey hunting, let's say, he may want to then graduate into his own specific turkey gun. But for now, this is definitely the way to go.
Owen, what do you think?
Yeah, this is probably his best all around as far as, yeah, this is probably his most economical choice.
I would think so. I think this is a good way to start off. And like Trevor said, if you find something, a specific type of hunt that you really enjoy, then invest the money in a really nice shotgun for that specific thing, if you think that will make your hunts more enjoyable. If you really like this gun, then just stick with it.
That's what I did. I had a Mossberg pump, and I ran with, and we had a bird barrel, 28-inch barrel. But then once I decided I was going to use it for goose, I went and bought a dedicated goose gun.
Right. Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, thank you, Frank, for the email. Thank you for the main topic. And I think now we can move into some listener feedback. And this first one comes to us from Dirt McGirt, and he has written us before. He says, and I'm going to translate this so that we can all understand it. He says, "Yo, Trevor, the EOTech has a better reticle, but the Aimpoint has a better battery life. You'll die before the Aimpoint battery, so quit hating on it." So I guess he's got a point. The reticle is cool, is what he's saying.
It's a dot.
But no. For the EOTech. The EOTech reticle is cool, but what he's saying is the dot, yeah, it's not cool, but it lasts forever.
Yeah, well, I'd rather have a good reticle that I can work with, that I know, I understand the function of it. 65 MOA dot, hash marks, 2 MOA dot in the middle, as opposed to, wow, it's a red circle that lasts for, or it's a red dot that lasts forever. The battery, I mean, it's a trade-off, yeah. I got lots and lots of battery life, but I got a little red dot. Here, I've got a really cool reticle, but not as much battery life. I can live with that, because I still got really good battery life.
But how much is that reticle going to do? What good is that going to do you if your batteries die?
That's a good point.
You
now,
don't
however,
let your batteries die.
You can. Yeah, but you
get a warning, first of all. It'll blink to tell you that it's time to change them. So you change them. And even when it starts to blink, they're not about to die within minutes.
Yeah, you still have hours once it starts to blink.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, Trevor's EOTech runs on AA batteries, which you can find almost anywhere. And on top of that, it's still a 1,200-hour battery life with an auto shutoff, so it still shuts itself off. I think it's an 8-hour shutoff.
And you can run extra batteries in the grip of your gun or in the stock. Like, I've got the Magpul stock that has the battery compartment.
Yep. Yeah, no, I considered both of them before I went with the M21. The battery life was a really... I mean, they're almost the same price.
Almost, but aim points are more.
Aim points are a bit more, yes. But the trade-off for me was exactly what Trevor said. The reticle is more precise, period. It's a 2 MOA... In fact, I thought it was a 1 MOA dot.
Yeah, I think you're right. The little dot is a 1 MOA, sorry.
And then the aim point is like a 5 or a 6 MOA dot. That's covering 6 inches at 100 yards. For a non-precision close-quarter combat AR, that's fine. But if you want to stretch out the capability, I mean, you can shoot an AR in 5.56 out to 300 and expect good results.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with it. At 300 yards, that's 18 inches. That would completely cover an IPSC target. Your 1 MOA dot's only covering 3 inches, which is still inside the A zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was going with the EOTech. Yes, the battery life is shorter, but like Trevor said, you get a warning. And very common batteries. You can store extras with you. I mean, I carry a flashlight that runs AA batteries, so I can pull batteries out of that if I had to in a life or death situation. Owen carries the same flashlight. I can steal his batteries.
There you go.
Well, I'm running a spark, so I'm probably dead by now.
And the field of view on the aim point is better, or on the EOTech is better. You got that stand-up big rectangular lens as opposed to the little tube.
I do agree with Trevor on that one as well. When I was playing with his EOTech on my AR a couple of weeks ago, I marveled at how wide the field of view was. Two eyes open, and you barely realize that you're looking through anything. It's a really big thing, really big piece of glass, so just really nice.
So once again, dirty.
Yeah, get an M21.
You're wrong, yeah. Wrong again.
Wrong again on both counts.
Yeah.
No, not really.
No, really.
I don't know. Well, we'll see. It's yet to be determined, right? I don't even have my M21 yet. So if it turns out my M21 rocks, then yeah, I'm calling all you suckers out.
Yeah, now the only thing to call into question on the M21 that is proven on the aim point and on the EOTech, and nod to the aim point, anybody who's watched the Daniel Defense torture video knows that, in fact, it turned out to be a aim point torture test video. They put this rifle through the ringer. They buried it. They threw it all over the place. Only after they dropped the Daniel Defense rifle out of a helicopter did the aim point lose zero. Up to that point, even with a smashed lens, the aim point still hadn't lost zero. So we know the aim points are tough. I've never seen that kind of test on the EOTech, but I'm just going to go ahead and say the EOTechs are tough. But is your new one coming in have that kind of...
I believe it does, based on the reviews from the Israeli Defense Force. They have stories, anecdotes of the case not even completely on properly anymore. Parts of it missing and still holding zero, still lighting up, no problem.
Nice.
So I do believe it is a very tough sight.
Well, that's the beauty of tritium. I mean, you can't turn it off.
You can't turn it off. There's no circuits to fry. I mean, in the event of an EMP strike, all the electronics are dead. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no electronics in the M21. So it won't be dead. Of course, everybody's truck will be dead, but whatever. That's why I get four-wheelers, right? Mm-hmm. And horses. Who loves horses? I don't know. Not me. All right.
Horse meat's fine.
I love horse meat, but just a little bit of mustard. Owen, can you bring this next one to us from Dave?
Sure. He says, in the last couple of years, I've started an airgun field target shooting in the Ottawa area. This sport got started about 30 years ago in the UK and has become popular in Europe. It's relatively new to Canada, and I think some of your listeners would be interested, especially given that 500 of the highest quality match pellets costs about $12.
That's even less than 22 ammo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in!
In FT, we shoot at metal targets from 9 to 50 meters, which is about equivalent in difficulty to shooting 308 on an unknown distance range from 9 to 1,000 meters. While most people in Canada think of low-quality Canadian Tire air guns, precision air guns are among the most accurate guns in the world. You can check out the new site I've just put together at www.afta.ca.
It's O-F-T-A. I'd be happy to chat.
Sorry, OFTA. I'd be happy to chat about FT if there's interest. Thanks, Dave.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's neat.
Air guns.
I wonder if that is similar to what our local club here. We have a our local club sponsors a youth program that is an air gun youth program, and they have some fairly high end. Pellet guns.
Mm-hmm. It's a Canada Games program, right?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yep. So a little different, I assume. But again, dealing with air guns, I think they're... I forget what the brand name is. That we've got two or three of these fine Wurzbau rifles. So.
Yeah. No, air guns are neat. I see on... other gun forums occasionally people poo-pooing the air guns because they're not real guns, but
no, that's airsoft. That's we poo-poo airsoft.
It's true, people don't like airsoft either, but I see them going on about air gun pellet guns and BB guns too sometimes. But they're neat. I think we all grew up with a BB gun or pellet gun of some sort, and I think every kid should. And like you're talking about here, Dave, you're not talking about the Red Ryder Daisy BB guns here. You're talking about high end.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, shooting pellets out to 50 meters, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ballistic coefficient of about a manhole cover strapped to an anvil. So,
Jason Burns was by a couple of weeks back with a it would be a Canada Games style air pistol that is designed.
So a laser.
Designed to be shot one-handed, and the trigger on it is. I don't even think you wrinkle your fingerprint with pressure, and it goes off. Like,
wow.
It's so light. It's unbelievable.
That's cool.
Might as well be electronic. It could be for all I know.
Yep.
So
very neat. Well, thanks, Dave, for writing in and letting us know about that. I'm sure some of our listeners will head over to ofta.ca and check that out. So thanks very much.
All right. This next email comes to us from Luke G. It seems there was some confusion regarding my last email. Specifically, my chosen method of denoting the location of Nova Scotia with regards to my own location here in Alberta as down there, air quotes. It had not occurred to me that you may not be familiar with the common Western vernacular of referring to the eastern provinces as, air quotes, down east, or, for those whom originated there, back east. For some reason, I thought it was a fairly common expression. No need to read this on the show.
Too late.
Yeah, we're not from Nova Scotia.
No, we're not from Nova Scotia. No. Okay, so
best iTunes.
Yeah.
We don't have one.
What?
Why?
You're in charge of this. Why didn't you write one?
I you know how hard it is to keep making up iTunes reviews week after week for two shows?
Yeah, I know. It gets tiring after a while.
Just once, I wish the listeners would leave us a real one.
That's
even
funny.
If it's
at least we might get a 5-star one if you know we didn't have to make our own up.
Well, what I was going to say, Owen, was they can say we suck as long as they leave it with a 5-star review.
Right.
Give us the 5 stars and then tear us apart in the review. That's fine. You know, you can say I drink too much. That's been done. You can say I stutter and can't read. That's been done. I mean, if you can think of something new to
you can
insult
say
me with,
I'm a really nice guy.
That hasn't been done.
Whatever, just something, anything. The point is, the more 5-star reviews we get, the more the show gets noticed on iTunes. The more the show gets noticed on iTunes, the more listeners we get, and the more we get to annoy people with our pro-gun message.
That's right. And by annoy, we mean educate. And by educate, we mean entertain. And by entertain, we mean we're very, very sorry.
Exactly. Exactly. So help us help you
help
spread
them.
The fight
help
by
us.
Getting us seen on iTunes. That makes sense, right?
Sure. No, we're running with that.
Okay.
Shout outs.
To Filthy. Go for it. You put her in there, right?
Yeah, we did that one.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Filthy made an awesome video. Check it out.
Good job, Filthy. Thanks. Is anybody a communist still? I'm just checking. Oh, they can't hear me. Okay. Mark, you sent another Jib Jab card, and we'll get that posted on Facebook eventually for everyone else to see. It's quite funny as well. So.
And the missus is in this one. See, Mark, she does exist.
See, that's the thing. I think because you complained last time that she wasn't in it, and
you
cried, and she was like, you tell him to make another one with me in it, or else I'm going to cut you off from the podcast, and, you know, all this drama.
That's what it was. It was high school all up in here.
It was all Mark's fault too. Really.
She was like, "How come I'm never in any of these jib jammy thingies?
Jam jams."
I'll tell you how out of touch she is with it. I'm like, "Christina, you're in the newest Jib Jab video," and she's like, "What's a Jib Jab?" So that's how engaged she was in this whole thing.
There we go.
And then she was like, "How did you get my picture?" Off the internet? Well, that's kind of creepy.
It was that same guy that was texting Trevor a while ago.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap things up here. So please be sure to join both of our National Firearms Associations. The CSSA and NFA do great things for keeping the privileges that we do have here in Canada, and they are both fighting for those privileges to become rights. So we do need to join them. We need to support them. We need to help them because they help us.
Perhaps now more than ever.
Definitely now more than ever. And Trevor's a field officer, so you got
to
sign up
right
through him.
Door, sign you up.
Yeah, you sign up through him, and when he signs up 15, he gets a free cruise. Is that what that is?
It's a coffee. Get a
pink Cadillac. Yeah.
Are you sure this isn't a pyramid scheme?
Sign up two friends, and they sign up two friends.
That's right. Next thing you know, you have a lot of friends.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so please check us out on the Gun Owners of Canada website. They're kind enough to give us our own section of their forum over there where we post this show, and you're free to discuss it or contact us there, talk about it, all kinds of cool stuff. So,
like you have been for months now.
Right. So do that. It's cool. Check out that website. It's neat. And in fact, you can sign up on that website to enter a contest which costs you exactly $0, and you could win a Tavor. So that's really cool. You should totally go do that. Also, please like us on Facebook. We are at 1,006. That's up 1 from last week, which, no, it's not. Last week was 106. Yes. No, it was 105 last week. So, yeah, that's up 1. So we have gained 1. So at this rate, we'll hit 2,000 in the year 2017.
You really put a lot of thought into that number.
I did, and it was wrong, but that's okay. We're going
to
carry on.
All you have to say every week is that we're ahead of politics and guns. That's it.
Yeah, we need to stay ahead of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check out all the other great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network as well as the Crusader Podcast Network. Reno Viola is fishing, outdoors, scuba, aviation, guns, all kinds of cool shows. It's very varied. So if you're looking for more than just guns, that is a great network to check out all kinds of other cool stuff, especially if you're into fishing, because he is a big fisherman. So go check
out. He's a big fisherman, he's a big guy, and he fishes.
Yes, we're gonna go with that. Okay. As awkward as it is, that's what we're going with.
Sorry,
and
Reno.
The Crusader Podcast Network, which is right now, as far as I know, the only international pro gun podcast. So, lots of really good material on there. Go check it out. All kinds of really cool stuff. Well, that's the end of the show. Join us next week when we discuss just how much Trevor loves walnuts.
And on that bombshell, it's time to end.
I'm Jeremy Clarkson.
See you next week, guys.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Nice. Okay, Owen, you guys say your line again.
I do it.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought, to be honest, I thought he did all right.
He said definitely.
I know. I didn't say, I threw an extra word in there.
Yeah. You can't change the script.